Good morning, Mountain View. It's good to see all of y'all here today. It's good to gather to worship the Lord together. So my name is Ben Fitzgerald. I'm the family discipleship pastor here at Mountain View Church. And if you're new here, we just want to welcome you and let you know that we're thrilled that you are here, and we hope that you experience the love of Christ while you're here. So, after months of corporately seeking the Lord for wisdom and guidance and prayer and scripture and in godly fellowship, the vision team came to a unanimous agreement on the vision of our church. And last Sunday, we unveiled that new vision here at Mountain View. And that vision that we came to is this. The clicker works. I can go to the next slide. That vision that we came to is this. Building relationships, serving families, and sharing Christ. Building relationships, serving families, and sharing Christ. And the explanation of that vision, looks like to be carried out is this. It's serving families in and near the Stewart's Draft School District, especially those facing unique challenges, such as single parents and families with grandparents raising their grandchildren. And we plan to do that through building relationships to share the love of Jesus. As a church, we know that our mission is to make disciples of all nations. But if we just say make disciples, it's hard to know where to start. And that is why we have been seeking God as a church for who the specific people are that he is calling us to make disciples of. Who he's calling us to reach out to with the love of Christ. Who he's calling us to build those relationships with. The families to serve, who he's calling us to share Christ with. So we're seeking God. What is the specific harvest field that you're calling Mountain View as a congregation to be going and sharing the gospel with? And the Lord led us to these people in our community, the single parent homes and the homes with grandparents raising their grandchildren. So now that we have this direction and focus as a church, we are in a place where we now have to walk that out. This is the second Sunday in a three-part series where we have been laying out a blueprint for our church to really take hold of this vision and that we've been given so that we can fulfill the Great Commission as a part of the body of Christ. So we've been going through this sermon series, which is laying out that blueprint. And there's three parts to, for us as a church, to really take hold of God's vision for us and be walking it out as a church. So this is kind of the pathway that it's going to look like for us as a church to really be taking hold of this vision and walking it out. And there's three parts to it, which is first to trust, the second part is to adjust, and the third part is to obey. Now last week, Pastor Bruce, he preached on what it means to trust God. Which means that God is interested in our absolute surrender of everything to the Lordship of Christ. When we hear God's call on our lives, we have to trust him. We have to put faith in him that what he says is true. And that if he calls you into something, then he is going to provide what you need to do that task that he has put in front of you. This week, we will be looking at the next step, which is to adjust. And that means that we cannot stay where we are and go with God at the same time. We cannot stay where we are and go with God at the same time. Now, this is the same principle that Mark was preaching from the book of James. That faith without works is dead. that if you say that you have faith, but your works are not works that are done in faith, then that's raising the question, have you actually put your faith in God? If we are actually trusting God when he puts that call in our life, then we are going to be willing to make that adjustment and obey him as we are going out. Now in Scripture, we see this pattern repeated throughout Scripture of God calling his people to a specific task. His people hear his call, they have to make adjustments in their life, and then they're able to go and obey God in that new place that he's calling them to. We see this pattern repeated throughout Scripture. Now, if we just look at some of the common Bible stories that we see in Scripture, like one of the most common people that we see in Scripture talked about is Moses. Moses, he grew up in Pharaoh's court, but God had a specific calling on his life. He fled Egypt into the desert, and he worked for his father. He got married and worked for his father-in-law as a shepherd in the desert. But then one day, God appeared to Moses in the burning bush and placed the call on his life. You are going to go back to Egypt to free my people. So Moses heard the call from God. Then it came the time for Moses to make the adjustment. Moses had to trust God that that call is from him. Then he had to leave his father-in-law. He had to leave his sheep. He had to leave his life in Midian. And then, I think it was Midian. And then go back to Egypt. So he had to make that adjustment before he could go and obey God to fulfill the calling God had on his life. We see Elisha. God placed his call on Elisha. You are going to go and be a prophet for me. Elisha, he had to trust God, that was his call, and then he had to make adjustments. He was busy working his fields. He had teams of oxen and a plow. Elisha, he burned his plow, barbecued the oxen, and then he went and obeyed God and was a prophet to the nations, to Israel. God, he placed a call on Peter and Andrew. He said, come with me and I will make you fishers of men. They had to adjust. They had to leave their life as fishermen. They had to leave their family. They had to leave their career in order to follow Jesus in that obedience. So this is the pattern that we see throughout Scripture. And this is what God is calling us into as Mountain View today. Is he has given us that call. He has given us this vision of what he is calling us to as a church. And now is the time that we are going to have to place that trust in God and be able to make those adjustments that are going to be necessary in order to live out the calling that God has placed on our church. So we see this pattern repeated throughout Scripture, and God is calling us to this now. God puts his call on his people and asks us for faith. Trusting is our absolute surrender of everything to the Lordship of Christ. As we as his people adjust, we have to realize that we cannot stay where we are and go with God at the same time. As we obey, we are going to see Jesus doing through us what he has called us to do. So that's what we'll be looking at today, what it means to adjust to God. When God calls us, we as a church are going to have to move with him. Whenever God calls his people to follow him, they have to make changes in their lives. Carrying out the vision that God has called us to as a church is going to take changes. God will be calling on you to sacrifice for his kingdom. And this may be sacrifices that you are uncomfortable with. He will be asking you to make changes. If you're holding on to the way of life that you have now, then you will not be able to receive what God is offering in the new place that he is calling you to. There is a cost to following Jesus. God calls his people to sacrifice. So today, the scripture we are going to be looking at is Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 35. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 35. This is where Jesus is talking about what it costs to follow him. So please stand in for the reading of God's word. large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build and was not able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way away and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. Whoever has ears, let them hear." May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. These are some difficult words from Jesus. He's telling us that we must give up everything that we have to follow him. He's telling you that you must give up your family. He's telling you must hate your mother, your father, your wife, your children, in order to follow him. Now that, when he says hate, that doesn't mean that you want ill to be done to your family. But what he's saying is that your highest loyalty is to be to God above your family. And that's the order that we see God has for us. Is our first love is to be to him. To love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And then it's to love your neighbors as yourself. Our love to God is to be greater than the love to our family and the people in our lives. Because when we love him first, we're then going to be able to love those in our lives correctly. He says we must hate our father, our mother, our wife and children. He says that you must be willing to die for him. You must consider the cost and then pay it. This may not sound like a good deal to you. It may bring this rise of fear inside your chest of, oh no, what is God going to call me to give up to follow him? And Jesus' answer is, you are going to have to give up everything. You're going to have to give up everything to follow him. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to have to sell everything that you have and all of your clothes, all of your house, leave your wife and family, and go out to share the gospel. That may not be what God's calling you to do. But what it means is that if God is calling you to do that, then you need to be willing to do that. Because when our highest loyalty is to God, that's when we're willing to give up everything. When he says you must give up everything, it doesn't mean that you physically are going to have to give up everything. But what it means is a change in mindset. We realize, this is not my wife. This is not my children. This is not my job. This is not my money. But rather, we see everything in our life as being under Christ's lordship. Where it's this is the wife that the Lord has blessed me with. The wife that the Lord has called me to love. This is the money that God has given me. And it comes from him in the first place. So every single dollar of it belongs to him. This is the house that is from God. So this house belongs to him. So in a way, when Jesus is the Lord of our life, we are giving up everything. We're giving up our claim to our lives. And everything in our life is now in God's hands for him to be able to do with as he wants. And really, when you put everything in God's hands, then you're really going to be able to love your family well, because you are able to trust God in his provision for your family. So we're to hate our family in that way that we are to let go of them and put them under the lordship of Christ. He says, even take up your cross and follow him. So when we look at, this may bring up some fear inside of you of, okay, like, I don't want to lose everything. But let me remind you, let me ease that a little bit. Let's look at Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Because when Jesus is calling us to give up, to sacrifice for him, he's the one who sacrificed everything for us. In Philippians, Paul writes this. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we see that Jesus, he gave up his place in heaven. He came down from heaven in order to come to earth to give us life. He left the comfort and glory to come onto the earth in a place of humility, taking on humanity as a baby. So when God is calling us to sacrifice for him, when he's calling us to make those adjustments, to leave the comfort and the way of life that we may have known, he's not telling us to do that from a place of not knowing what that is like himself. And if we look at another passage in Scripture, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Now, if you're having trouble with wrestling with this idea of making adjustments, we can look to Christ. If we read verse 3 again. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. If we're losing heart about what it's going to take to follow Jesus, we can look and meditate on what he has done for us. Now, I want to encourage you. This is the amazing thing about making a sacrifice to God, is that when we are giving to God, that is something that we have a guaranteed return on investment. We have a guaranteed return on investment when we're sacrificing to God. And that's because Jesus is the one who took the loss for us. He took the pain and suffering that we deserved. And he defeated death on the cross. We're living in his grace. We are receiving so much from him that is of eternal value, that any earthly treasure that he asks for, that's a blessing from him in the first place. And if we're giving up anything here on earth that is of temporary value, that is a hill of beans compared to the eternal treasure we have in Christ. With a God of infinite resources, sacrificing to him takes faith, but he is faithful. And he will provide. So anything he asks for, we can give to him in faith, remembering that it was a gift from him in the first place. We're told in Matthew chapter 19, "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life." We can sacrifice everything to the Lord because he is worthy. And also, here's the thing. What God is calling you to give up, it may seem daunting. It may seem irreplaceable. But we can trust that if God is calling you to something, then he will make a way for you to accomplish it. If he is calling you away from a place, then he will make a way to fill that void that you're going to leave in that job. He is sufficient. I want to remind you of a story from the New Testament of someone who they heard God's call, but they were unwilling to make the adjustment that it took to walk in obedience to God. That's the story of the rich young ruler, who is someone who encapsulates the modern American mindset. It says, "As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him, Jesus, knelt before him, and asked him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do so that I may inherit eternal life?' But Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother.' And he said to him, 'Teacher, I have kept all of these things from my youth.' Looking at him, Jesus showed love to him and said to him, 'One thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me.' But he was deeply dismayed by these words, and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property." When Jesus gave the rich young ruler the call, he did not respond in faith. He did not respond in trust. He did not want to make the adjustments. He valued his money more than he trusted Jesus. He still held on to his claim that these things that I have in my life, I deserve them, that I accumulated them for myself. They belong to me. He did not want to give up his wealth to follow Jesus. If you contrast this to the disciples, they dropped their nets and followed Jesus when he gave them the call. Do you want to be someone who's remembered as the person who walked away sad, or as someone who followed Jesus? We see that the impact that the rich young ruler has had, this is the last thing we see of him in Scripture that we know is him. But we see the disciples, what God was able to do through them because they were following God. They were able to make those adjustments. I want to call out two things that are so common in our culture. that I have seen in my life personally, and that I see that I need to make adjustments on. One of those things that is so common in our culture is busyness. This is one of the adjustments that God's been calling me to make as I have been preparing for this. How often when you ask someone how they've been doing, their response is, "I've been busy." I know that I've responded that way more than once. And the problem is that in our fast-paced culture, if we look at what people are busy doing, sometimes we're busy doing a bunch of nothing. We're rushed to get from one thing to the next so that you can stare at your phone for a little longer. You fill up your schedule with so much that you don't have time to help the person who broke down the side of the road. You can be so busy with your plans that you miss out on what God's calling is for you. Do you want the cure for busyness? If we start everything in prayer, if we're asking God, "What do you want here? What are you doing here?" If we're asking God every day, "What are you calling me to do here?" then we are going to be moving from this mindset of, "It's my schedule, it's what I want to do, it's what I need to do today," to this mindset of, "Okay, God, what do you have for me to do today?" It's giving up everything to follow Christ. It's giving up all of your schedule to God. And you still have God's priorities on your life. He wants you to take care of your family. He wants you to provide for your family. He wants you to give your children the emotional needs that have them help meet their emotional needs as a parent. But God has more of a calling in our life than just that. He wants us to make disciples. And the first place that we are to make disciples is in our home. Your first, the primary discipler of your children is not the church. It's you as a parent. But God calls us to make disciples of all nations. So that means that we have to go outside of our church just sharing Christ with people inside the church. We have to be going and taking Christ outside of the church. Loving them, discipling them. And that has to start with prayer. And we can do that by just, in everything, coming to God in prayer with it. We can pray for Bob. We can ask God to give you a burden for the lost, for opportunities to share the gospel, and for the boldness to speak up about it when those opportunities arise. When you are starting off and seeking God in prayer, your eyes are going to be tuned to what he is showing you. Your ears are going to hear what he is telling you. You'll notice that family at the ball game who is sitting by themselves, and you'll hear his voice calling you. You feel the leading of the Spirit calling you to go and start a conversation with them. You'll notice that mother struggling to wrangle three kids at the grocery store and unload her groceries at the same time. And you'll be filled that compassion from God to go and help her unload her groceries and ask her how her day is going. Ask her how you can pray for her. You will, and I want to share something with you a little behind the scenes from the vision team. The vision was born through prayer. There was a lot of people in our church who were involved in praying, and people outside of our church who was involved with praying for what God's vision is for our church. And I want to tell you that as a church, if that vision was birthed through prayer, it will not grow and mature apart from prayer. If the vision came from that dependence on God, it's not going to be carried out apart from that. Because God is the one who has to build the tower. And if we're looking at the scripture from the beginning, where God is telling his disciples what it costs to follow him, he gave the two examples of building the tower and estimating what it's going to cost to build the tower. And also, the king going out to war. And the thing is that we cannot fulfill this vision apart from God's power. it is going to cost us more than we can pay to build this tower. But that's the thing, is that if God is calling us to do it, then he is going to be the one that has to build it. And we have to present ourselves to him in order for him to build it through us. So another common idol in our culture, the second thing I wanted to call out, first was busyness. The second common idol in our culture that I've seen in myself is comfort. Jesus said we must take up our cross to follow him. The cross was the Roman instrument of torture and death. He said if you do not take up your cross and follow him, you cannot be his disciple. Jesus tells us to take up our cross, but sometimes it's hard for us to get off the couch. That's something that, as Americans, we idolize comfort. We want everything to be the easiest way possible. And this week at a pastor's meeting, we had somebody come and talk about what it takes for missionaries to go into the mission field. And he was saying that some people, they come and say, I want to go on missions, but I want to do it in the easiest way possible. But he was saying that all the easy places to take the gospel to that unreached, they've already been reached. Like, if you want to go take the gospel somewhere, you're going to have to face discomfort. You're going to have to face hardship. And if we look at what it takes to take the gospel out, you're going to have to release this love of comfort. And something God was speaking to me through specifically this week about just my own love of comfort in my life was, I was just thinking about the tragic death of Charlie Kirk, who was outspoken about his Christian beliefs and values, and he was assassinated for speaking the truth. And I was convicted. I was thinking about how many times I have stayed silent because of fear of not being understood or feeling the discomfort of rejection. If we look at our heritage as Christians, we have a long line of those who came before us who were bravely facing the harshest of circumstances because of their love of God and for his truth. John the Baptist, he was beheaded for confronting the sin in Herod. Stephen, he was stoned for preaching the gospel. The disciples, the apostles, they were put to death because of their faith in Christ. And there's been many other, even to this day, who are literally taking up their cross. They are being martyred for their faith. And we have trouble having a conversation with somebody. I have trouble having a conversation with somebody because I feel like it might be awkward if I talk about Jesus with them. That's just something that God was convicting me of this week. Being comfortable is not what God is calling us to do. God calls us to do hard things. If you do not make any changes in your life for the gospel, your life will stay the same as it has always been. If we as a church are not willing to make those adjustments to follow God and his vision, this vision will just be another short-lived trend. Church, it's our time to step up to the plate. So I don't know what adjustment God is calling you to make in your life, or what he may call you to do in the future. There are so many things in our lives that we put our trust in, that we put our safety and comfort in, that may keep you from following Jesus. There's so many things that we put our trust in and hold on to instead of putting our trust in Christ. Maybe for you, it's a job that you have had. Or maybe it's a church ministry that you've been holding on to. Or maybe it's a boyfriend or girlfriend relationship, or a friendship, or a routine, or a reputation, or an income level. Maybe it's your family or a town. Maybe it's a role that you fill or a title that you've been holding on to. Maybe it's a style or a way of doing things. Maybe it's health challenges or your personality or your preferences. Maybe it's a way of thinking or a video game or your computer, or here's a big one, or your phone. Any excuses or fears that you can think of. If you're trusting in these things, if you are relying on these things to bring you meaning in life, to bring you comfort in life, to bring value to your life, to bring purpose to your life, if you're looking to any of these things, if you're building your life on any of those things, you'll only be walking in the life and the power that they can bring. You're only going to be walking in the life and power that those things can bring. If your phone is your God, you're only going to receive the love and power that your phone can give you, which I can tell you is not, it's going to let you down. If you're looking to your spouse to be your God, then they're not going to be able to fill that place that God has made you for. So this is the call today, to trust God. When he has placed that call in your life, make those adjustments away from the thing that has been consuming or that you have allowed to confine your heart. Trust him and be able to make those adjustments. You cannot continue life as usual and stay where you are and go with God at the same time. Let us ask God for faith. Let us ask God for faith. And he can give it to you because he has done it before. And we can look, if you're having trouble, like just thinking about those adjustments, we can look back at how God was faithful in the past. Noah, he could not continue life as usual and build the ark at the same time. Moses, he could not stay in the desert herding sheep and stand before Pharaoh. He left his business to confront Pharaoh. Joshua, he took a risk to step into the Jordan and to lead the people into a hostile land. Rahab, she left a lucrative career as a prostitute to follow God. Ruth, she left the familiar land of her family to strike out with her mother-in-law. David, he left the safety of the Israelite camp and went to face Goliath alone with only a few stones and the power of God. Elijah, he took a risk in his showdown with the 900 prophets of Baal, and fire came from heaven. Esther, she risked her life to save her people. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they left their boats, their nets, and their businesses to follow Jesus. Matthew, he left his lucrative lifestyle as a tax collector to follow Jesus in the wilderness. Saul, he completely changed direction in order to preach the gospel and to plant churches. And Jesus, he left the security of heaven to come and die for our sins. That is my prayer for me. That is my prayer for our church, that God will give us that faith in him, that we trust him so deeply that God isn't trying to pry these things from our life, but we are willingly giving them over to him, sacrificing them to him, giving them back to the God who gave them to us in the first place. When God calls us, we need to move in order to follow where he is going. So God has placed this call on us to go and make disciples in our area. And now we're going to have to make those adjustments. When God calls us, when God brings us as a church, people to disciple, are we going to be available to disciple them? If you don't know how to disciple someone, are you going to have the humility to say, hey, I don't know how to disciple this person. Can you help me to do that? Our calling is clear to make disciples, and we have our harvest field here before us. The single parent families and the children being raised by their grandparents in our area. So the question is, are we going to be willing to make the sacrifices and adjustments that are necessary to do that? So I just want to give us some time to pray today, to seek the Lord and ask Him what He may be calling us to do to change for Him. Let's pray. Father, we come before you as a church, and we are just asking you to give us the faith to trust you. God, we see that you are placing in front of us a blueprint for a tower that we feel like we don't have the resources to build, God. God, we come before you and, we feel weary. We feel tired. We feel like we're already given all that we have. God, we pray that you would just give us the faith to just rely on your strength, God, that you will give us the faith to just be able to just leave the things that you're calling us to leave to follow you. God, I pray that you will just let us hear your voice clearly of what you are calling us to change. We pray that just as we're moving forward as a church, that you will just give us that faith to be able to follow you. We pray that you will just be working through us, God. We know that we don't have the materials to build that tower, God, but we know that you do. And we're just calling on you, God, today to just give us that strength to do that, to give us that energy, to give us the vision, to give us the wisdom, God, to give us the time, to give us all those things, God. And we just place back in your hands just our lives, God. God, we repent of making our schedules our own, of making our money our own, God, of making our lives our own, God. We just place our whole lives in your hands, Lord, to do with as you please. We pray that you will just open our eyes to where you are calling us as a church to go, and that you will give us the faith to just go and make disciples there. Lord, we pray that you will just help us to disciple our children well in you. We pray that you would just help us to be disciples of you ourselves, that you would help us to be coming to you for our strength, coming to you for our vision, coming to you for that love that we need, God, for that acceptance, for that identity, God. We pray that we'll be coming to you for those things and not going to the world for those things, God. God, we repent of looking to the people in our lives for identity, for looking to people's perception of us, for looking to our bank account for identity, for looking to our jobs for identity, God. And we want to come back to you and just put you back on that throne, God, to ask you to be our Lord. God, we, as a church, we want you to be the one who is leading us, who is just building the tower before us, who is facing the army for us, God. We pray that you will help us to stay salty as a church, God, that we won't be following the trends and the flow of our culture, but that we will stay rooted in you, God, that we will stay rooted in your word, that just we will have that faith in you to be looking to you for everything that we need, God. And I pray for those here today who just feel weary, who feel like they just don't have any more to give, God. I pray that you will be their strength, God, that you will be their power, that you will be their joy. God, I pray that you will just fill them with your spirit and with your love and with your presence, and that you will just help them to love from the overflow of the love that you have given to them already. God, we pray that you'll help us to just be dependent on you in prayer. God, we pray that you will just help us to seek you faithfully in prayer, that you'll help us to come to you when we rise and when we lay down, that you will help us to just pray, just bathe every part of our lives in prayer. God, we pray for the vision team. We pray that you'll be raising up the vision implementation team, that you'll be just leading and guiding our church through those people. God, I pray that you'll just be placing a call on those men and women that you're calling to just be leading our church in that way. Lord, we pray for the leaders in our church, the spiritual leadership team and council. We pray that you will just give us hearts that are, just have faith in you, God, that are looking to you for that wisdom and guidance, who have that courage to follow you. Lord, we pray that you will just be putting to death the idol of comfort in our hearts, God. We pray that you will help us to be looking to you for that strength, to be looking to you for that pleasure, to be looking to you to be everything that we need so that we don't have to look to the world to provide us comfort, God. I pray that you would just give us a vision of just the reward that we have in you. I pray that you will just loosen our grip on the things of this world so that we can accept what you have for us, God, because we know that what you have for us is so much greater than what this world has to offer. God, we repent of our busyness. We repent of making our schedules our own, and we want to just allow you to show us where what you're calling us to do. We pray that just our goals, that our ambitions will be ambition that comes from you, God, that it'll be goals that come from you. We pray that our priorities will come from you. God, we pray that you will just help us to just have that faith to follow you. And Lord, I pray for just the person here today who doesn't know you, God, who doesn't know and doesn't have that faith in their heart of just the love that you have for them. God, I pray that you would just open their eyes to who you are, that you would just give them that faith in your word, that you have died for them, that they can have that eternal life in you through your son. I pray that you will just come into their life, that you will change it, that you will just bring them that life that comes only through you. God, we just come before you as a church, and we just don't know exactly the next steps ahead, but we just trust you in it, and we want to come before you just continually as we're doing that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.